The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.
Since 2016, the savings rate has increased from about 12.5% to 13.8% last year and is expected to be closer to 15% this year. So what is behind this rise in putting away so much of your disposable income, and are we all getting bangs for our buck when it comes to savings? Paul Merriman, CEO of Fairstone, founder of Ask Paul, is on the line. Paul, good morning.
Good morning, Pat.
Now, can we trace the roots of this saving epidemic?
Look, I think it's mainly due to an ageing population, to be honest, Pat. If you look at those in the brackets between maybe 40 and 50 odd years of age, there's a large increase since 1990 in that cohort. And that cohort tend to be well-established on mortgages, kids probably out of creches if they have a family, careers are starting to kind of peak, so they have a lot more cash and they're stashing that cash. You also look at then, typically speaking, savers with wealth are typically probably in their 60s, 65 towards retirement age, when you expect to see people peak again from an investment and a savings point of view. And again, that's a growing population here in Ireland. So yeah, a lot of people are putting the money in the bank and they're saving like we've never saved before. Which in theory sounds great, especially compared to where we think we've definitely learned our lesson with those people as well, having gone through the likes of the financial crash in 2007 and 2008. So people are risk averse, they're putting the money in the bank and they are stashing it. The big problem is they're getting very little or no interest. I think that's the biggest concern we have.
So how much money, how many billions are stashed away, not, if you like, being used productively?
About 170 billion, which is a staggering amount. And especially if you look at how difficult it is for SME businesses to borrow from banks, how difficult it is to get money out of banks these days. And the fact that we have a banking sector that's depleted really with competition over the last number of years. You look at KBC and Ulster Bank leaving. So you're predominantly left with the main three pillar banks, AIB, Bank of Ireland, and the PTSB. And commercially, they're quite difficult to do business with. And all this money is sitting there. So there's definitely something where the government needs to get involved in trying to incentivize reinvestment of that capital for savers into government projects, into SMEs, and then looking at the investor markets as well. But it doesn't always have to be risk, Pat. I think people fear risk, but if you look, there's a really good company called Raisin, Raisin.ie. They're a platform for people to access European banks. So because we're part of the EU, you can save in any other European bank and be able to get maybe 2-2.5% interest. So it's crazy for people to be leaving their money at practically 0% when they should be just even doing the basic with a high yield account from Europe. And we need to start doing this because it's especially with inflation. You know, we're trying to get inflation around 2%. If you're getting zero on your money, it's just devaluing on an annual basis, which is the biggest problem.
Okay, typically a bank will get money if it needs it from the central bank and at a particular rate of interest, the ECB rate, and then it flogs it on to you and I at a higher rate. What is the typical margin for the banks if they do that with the ECB, and how does that compare if they use our money, which is earning very little interest in their institutions? What's the gap? I mean, how much more money are the banks making because they're using our savings instead of ECB money?
Oh, it's massive. I mean, there's millions on the profits on the balance sheet here for especially the main three pillar banks that have this cash. It's millions. I mean, if you think about it, if you're getting 0% off the bank, they can lend it out tomorrow at 6%, 15% to 22% on a credit card, a mortgage, 3 to 4%. So, like, this is really important for this, actually. When you put your money in the bank, it doesn't go into a little deposit account in the back and say, like, a little safe deposit box. It gets lent out straight away. That's what banks do. So banks take money in. And even if you look at what happened over the last couple of years when inflation went so high and, you know, interest rates and deposit accounts went high across Europe, even in Ireland, but across Europe, especially in the UK and Europe, they did. Irish banks would have been taking money off consumers and just putting it on deposit at the European Central Bank and maybe making a margin of 2-2.5%, but they weren't passing it on to the consumer. They were just keeping it on their balance sheet.
Now, what's our central bank doing about that? What's our government doing about that? I mean, you'd imagine the central bank's principal obligation is to keep the banks safe and solvent and all of that and make sure they are fit to do the business they do. But after that, you'd expect them, the central bank, to take an interest in the bank's customers and not to have them fleeced.
Well, you would. You expect the government to do the same. Don't forget, the government was sitting on the boards of these banks as well at the time, because they still had a vested interest from bailing them out back in 2007 and 2008. It was a situation where we bailed these banks out for billions, and then as we're saving for them, they're just taking our money, getting it easily off the European Central Bank and keeping it a profit for themselves and just putting it on the balance sheet. So yeah, I mean, what are they doing? Not enough, in my opinion. And I think it's outrageous that you could have people saving in one of those three-pillar banks that we bailed out, and then simply the interest being put into the ECB and taken back and put onto the balance sheet. It's almost Father Ted, like, you just wouldn't see it anywhere else. And like I said, right across Europe, you can just, again, go on to Raisin.ie, you can just see all the rates from European banks, 2.5%, 2.7%, longer-term rates, because in Europe, they're trying to make sure that they're actually looking after the end consumer and making sure that they're beating inflation and they're being, like, competitively have to look after the consumer, where we seem to have a system where we just blank the consumer.
Now, Paul, you know, it's said that the foreign owners of supermarkets chains in Ireland call anecdotally Ireland Treasure Island because they make so much money here. The same could be said of the banks, that if you bank here, if you set up a bank, you make a fortune compared to what you might earn in other territories. So why aren't other banks flooding in here to Treasure Island to make their profits?
Well, I think from a mortgage point of view, they are. So if you look at Bankinter over in Spain, they've come into the marketplace under the Avant brand. So that they're one of the largest banks in Spain. They're in for mortgage business. They're talking about getting to the deposit market, I believe, at the moment as well. So I think you're going to see an influx of banks coming in and trying to take that deposit. And that's what Raisin have done. Like, Raisin's just a platform, but they have about 30 banks on their platforms you can access. So yeah, you're seeing them coming in. But the good thing for the consumer is they're coming in and being very competitive with their margins. So they're being very competitive with their interest rate for the consumer. So I think, again, that the problem is Ireland, as a consumer, from a personal finance point of view, we have a big inertia and we also have a lot of fear, and we're very undereducated when it comes to financial literacy, in my opinion. So you're finding that, imagine just even thinking about 170 billion just practically earning 0%. You wouldn't see that in any other probably jurisdiction in Europe. So I think banks will come in and they will try and make an impact on the deposits. But again, the consumer inertia trying to change. And we see that even with switchers and mortgages over the years. You know, people know they can save, we don't hassle at doing it. And, you know, so I think, it's like I said at the start of this segment, it's great that we're saving. It's just a pity that we're not saving in the right way.
Now, the question of thing you said about the government maybe helping to free up some of this money, incentivizing it in some way to be lent out, perhaps at very low risk, to people who actually need money in competition with the banks. I mean, would that be allowable under EU rules that the government gets competitive with its own commercial sector? That's the first thing. And the second thing is, do we really trust the government? We all remember Michael Noonan dipping into people's pensions. We're terrified that some Minister for Finance from some party, not alone the party you'd least expect it from, which I suppose was Fine Gael, but other parties might be more avaricious about your money and simply take it.
Yeah, I mean, I think what you're looking for here is like an infrastructure bond where, you know, it's backed by the government. The EU would have no problem with that whatsoever. So taking money out of deposits and encouraging people to invest through a government bond, and that government bond be spent on other infrastructure, or else going back to, like I said, helping SMEs and be more targeted towards the SME market, which I think is needed, because I know SMEs find it very, very difficult to be able to go to banks and get finance. And they're the backbone of society. So people think it's the Apples, it's the Googles, the big tech. I mean, we've about 250 to 300,000 SME businesses that are backbone society, creating employment and paying VAT, paying PRSI, and really keeping the system ticking over. They need way more support. And like I said, if you think of the banks with 170 billion there, we need the government to come in, like I said, start trying to help the help the economy, but also help the consumer with more lending. It's in the interest of the government and everyone in society that we become wealthier as individuals and wealthier as a nation as well, because it's less reliant on the state in the future too.
Now, is there any way of knowing how much of this money that's tucked away in accounts in various places, how much of that is to do with saving for a deposit for a house? How much of that is to do with the pension?
Yeah, so I think overall, the 170 billion is just sitting on those overnights. I think from household wealth, about 70%, 40% is in relation to that kind of cash overnight. The rest is probably within property and obviously pensions, which is great because we're putting more into pensions than ever, which is really good news. But yeah, I think the big thing about the saving, what you're seeing, is that younger couples and younger individuals in particular, they know they need to save more than ever before trying to get onto the property market, because that's definitely driving this. But also, you're seeing parents thinking they need to support, sorry, knowing they need to support their kids to get on the property ladder. So parents are equally stashing cash and trying to make sure they're in a position. So the housing crisis is definitely driving this savings need as well for people, because they know they need way more cash than before to get on, because the banks, I mean, the central bank have done a really good job with the mortgage market and keeping it stable with the rules of four times your salary, etc. But if you're in Dublin or any other major city in the country, it's very, very unlikely four times your salary and just a 10% deposit will get you on the market. People definitely need to start looking towards 20, 25, possibly even 30% deposits. And that's when you need the cash. So you need to have savings for a long time. So, and it's a shame because, again, with the sales deployed the way it is, that money again is not being spent in society, it's not keeping the economy turned over.
Okay, a couple of questions for you. Is there more active control in Europe, or are European banking customers just better at selling their savings to the highest bidder? That's from Brian.
Yes, they are. The European banks are just better than this. And I think, to be honest as well, I think the European banks wouldn't get away with this sort of government. So I don't think you'd see a German bank be allowed to charge 0% and then put the money on interest with the European Central Bank. I think there'd be uproar.
A few people talking about they're using more cash than ever. I am much more likely to keep cash on me since the cyber attacks are on the rise. It makes good sense. Another one, I'm always amazed by how few young people carry cash or even a physical card. If their phone is stolen on a night out, how do you get home? I use cash more now as the cost of living has increased, and you can tap away far too much without being aware of what you're actually spending. Is cash use on the rise again?
It is, yes. Cash use is on the rise. I think from the first comment there, text are in, it's definitely down to the cyber issue and people getting so many scam text messages to their phones and hearing so many people being, a result of fraud. So people are starting to use cash more than ever before. Younger people are not going to get into cash. I know someone mentioned there about the phone and night sales, etc. But younger people, I mean, Revolut have really taken over here in a big way. I think from that point of view, you're not going to see younger generations change the cash, but certainly the older generations are 100% have cash on the increase, and I think it's predominantly down to the fear of fraud.
Paul Merriman, CEO of Fairstone and founder of Ask Paul, thank you very much.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.